Blog Talk Radio.
There you go. Come on, man. Got to come back, man. Yeah, I'm gonna come back. Push it, right?
Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you good.
Can you hear? Oh, great.
I hear you good.
Okay, apologize. We're going to get started. I'm running a little late today, a minute or so. And we're going to call the van and go ahead and get started. And we want to welcome everybody and say assalamu alaikum to them.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, I'm putting myself on mute.
Yes, sir.
All right, so, assalamu alaikum.
Assalam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله الحمد لله. Brothers and sisters, we apologize. I got callers coming in, and some of them call collect. So let's see if we can get them back, inshallah. Stay on the line, please. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. Good. We were able to work that today. All praises to Allah. Brothers and sisters, welcome again to our Jummah here in Los Angeles, California. We thank Allah for the opportunity, and we're so happy that we're being carried by the Blog Talk Radio program and with our great assistant or great helper and sponsor, Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and call the second adhan and start the Jummah. May Allah have mercy on us and forgive us our sins.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الحمد لله.
We thank Allah for His help and His guidance. Thank Allah for giving us Jummah. We're going to open up, say first assalamu alaikum to you all, and open up with the authentic greeting that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, used every time he did the Jummah, every time he performed the Jummah or share the Jummah with us as believers. He is our guide. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our guide. And this is called Al-Hajja, or Khutbah Al-Hajja. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would open up, and he would seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy, And he would say, Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina man yahdi Allahu fala mudlillahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. أشهد أن لا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And that's what he would say every time he opened up with the Juma. And the, if we translate it into English, it says, Praise be to Allah. We seek his help and his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from or against the evil of our own soul and from our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, the one and only. He has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is a servant and his messenger, and the messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, thank you again. May Allah bless you. Thank you for joining us. May Allah bless you and keep you strong as a believer, keep you full of faith. We want to go ahead and start our Juma. Today we wanted to talk about sacrifice, and which is a proof. Sacrificing and working in the cause of Allah, that's a proof of our faith. That's a proof that we believe in Allah. We have to do something. We have to perform. And when you make your prayer, that's a sacrifice. You're sacrificing your time, you're sacrificing your energy, you're promising Allah that you believe in him and that you are showing Allah that you want to bow to him and give yourself to him, to submit yourself to him. And so the Muslim is willing to give his whole self to Allah. The Muslim is willing to give his whole self to Allah. So whatever we have to sacrifice as believers to win Allah's help and to win his favor, and to win his support, and to win his guidance, and to win his approval, and to win his allowing us to be admitted into paradise, and into a better life, all of that is a sacrifice that is worthy for us to make, and we must make that kind of sacrifice if we want to have a higher life, if we want to have the highest life that we can in this world and in the next world. So today we're going to talk about sacrifice, and I hope that all of the things we cover will remind you to do what you should do as a person who says that he bears witness, that he can see the proof, that there's nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, and be a person who's willing to give himself enough, as much as he possibly can, to prove that he is willing to follow the one who made the supreme sacrifice, and that was Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him. Gave his whole life. He proved that a human being who strives his utmost to please his creator can have a life beyond your belief, brothers and sisters, that miracles will be with that person. That person will have a life that is so amazing and so awesome and so good that he's worthy to be followed. He's worthy to be appreciated. He's worthy to be one that you want to model your life after, model yourself after. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he said that you are not a believer until you believe in him and what he's brought. Until you believe in that more than you believe in your father and mother. And many of us, our fathers and mothers made many mistakes. Some of our fathers and mothers are obviously not worthy of or fit to be, or at least we should look for and can find people who can shine better than them, perform better than them, have a better life for us, shape us better, as their family members. Some of our fathers and mothers are not a good model if you want to be an excellent person. The Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, was not just talking about your fathers and mothers who perform poorly. He was talking about no matter who your father and mother is, how great they are, how many accomplishments they've made in life, you would never be a believer unless you see what the Prophet brought, peace be upon him, as more important than your father and mother to you. That's a big statement, brothers and sisters. That's a huge statement. Not only is it true, but it's what we have to do. That's a sacrifice we have to make. We have to look at how in this society we have to drop what our fathers and mothers have offered us or brought to us, and many times, most of the time, was forced to bring to us or teach us or put on us. Look how many times our fathers and mothers have told us that we have to worship idols. We have to worship the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. That we have to give ourselves in obedience to another race who has been abusing us so much. Who has been abusing us not for, like I was talking to my son this morning. I said, have we been going through this? Or is this a few days? No. How about a few years? No. You know? How about, 10 years or 20 years or 100 years? No. We've been going through this monkey business, this vulgar oppression, this cruel, wicked, inhuman oppression from another race who don't feel any pain or they don't feel any guilt about abusing us. We've been going through this with them for over 400 years. I was talking to a Muslim yesterday, and I told her, I said, count me out. I'm not here. I'm not going out like that. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand that we have to make sacrifices all of our lives, the greatest sacrifices, to be the best people we can be and to overcome the cruelty and the wickedness and overcome the challenges that we face every day and night. In this society, as captured people, as people who are kidnapped and from our original land or from the area of the earth that we come from, we have to sacrifice ourselves. We have to sacrifice our life. We have to sacrifice what we think is life and for a better life. That better life was proven that it can be lived by Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. He lived in oppression too. His own relatives oppressed him not because he was stealing from them or because they wanted him to work for them or anything like that. He was oppressed by his relatives because he believed in the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one we call Allah. That's why he was abused by his relatives, nearly starved by his relatives, chased by his relatives. They attempted to kill him, to murder him, to assassinate him on more than one occasion. They did war against him. They lied on him. Was it because he was a bad person? No. Before he became the messenger of Allah at 40 years old, when the revelation from Almighty God, the words from Almighty God began to come to him, he was their favorite son. They loved him. They trusted him. They called him the trustworthy one from all among us in Mecca, in Arabia where they lived, where he was born. From all among all the people, they said that he was the most trustworthy among them. But when he began to receive the words of Almighty God, you know, the same truth. Who said truth makes you free? Jesus said, peace be upon him, said truth. Know ye the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, the truth that came to Muhammad, the truth was the same truth that came to Jesus and Moses and Abraham from the same source, is what I'm saying. They had different things they had to do in society. But the main thing they had to do was to remind the people or tell the people or teach the people that there's no creator except the creator. When you look at the sky, when you look at the trees, when you look at the animals, when you look at the ocean,
when you look at the different phenomena in the society and the different in the creation, and you say, who made that? The average person in his right mind will say they were created by God. And some of them who have been in this society and under the cruel test of white supremacy and taught the lie that Jesus is a white and that Jesus is God, or that the one they call Son of God can do all these things, all these things were here before Jesus was here. Adam was here before Jesus was here. Moses was here before Jesus was here. David, Solomon, Noah, many, many others. So the creation was already created. So they can't tell the lie following the Europeans, the white people. I'm not talking race. I'm talking about that's what they call themselves. I don't care what they call themselves. We can't take another race or another group or another people or anything as Almighty God. But they taught the world that Jesus was God. Jesus can't do these things. He knew that. He would tell you. He said it's written, still survived. There are many things they took out of the Bible and changed and twisted. And they inserted many, many, many lies in the Bible. I know a lot of people get all upset and be scared and think lightning gonna strike me or that I'm the devil or something. They inserted many things into the Bible, but one of the things in the Bible that did survive was Jesus reported to have been saying or to have said, I come not of myself, but of him who sent me. He said, I can do nothing of my own. And he would tell you, give praise to Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and earth. And I know he called him his father, but if you look at our power as a being or a human being or of the human race, could you say that we would be called a father figure or the creator of the heavens and the earth? Quite naturally, the creator of the heavens and the earth would be a father figure many times over, infinitely more than we could be a father figure. We don't even make a good son sometimes, a good daughter. We cry baby and bellyache over everything. Lie, kind of crime. Steal, trick, trap, kidnap, rape, murder, suicide, pimp, sell poison. Oh, and many homosexuality and many, many other things. Crimes. We don't even make a good child. We don't even make a good child or son or daughter once we get the devil words in us. The devil's words are the things that are the opposite of what Almighty God wants. God wants goodness for you. The devil wants you to be bad. God wants you to stand up for what's right. The devil wants you to lie and set people up and fail in your own goodness and be bad and be cruel and be wicked and be sneaky and be hypocritical. That's what the devil wants for you. But Almighty God, he gave nature the power to produce people, and he gave those people the power to produce themselves. So when you're born right. You're born clean. You're born honest. You're born with an ability to have faith and to be sincere. You have an ability to be honest and truthful, decent, hopeful looking, looking towards being a hopeful person, a person who's optimistic. That's birth. That's things that's in nature, brothers and sisters. We are people who are born into common sense. Everybody knows something of what's right and what's wrong. Everybody knows something of fairness and justice. Everybody knows something about what they should and should not do. The do's and don'ts are in your very makeup. But Almighty God didn't leave you to nature. He gave the human being the ability to stand up above nature, to affect nature, to use the rules and laws of nature to live in his environment and to make his environment comfortable for himself. If you clean up your environment, you feel better. Now, the animals, I know they can do all kinds of stuff, but everything they do is natural. They are not above nature. They are trapped in nature. And man, being above nature, he can use his mind to teach the animal to do things that normally they won't do. He can teach them so many tricks and so many things that he wants them to do, he can use them for entertainment and make money off of them, like he do with the lion and the tiger and the monkeys and stuff. But Almighty God wants us to be standing over nature. That's why he gave us what is called something of his spirit. Say, do you have the spirit of God in you? I can see God's spirit in you, ruling in you. I can see God's spirit in you. That's why you're good. And people will like you when you allow yourself to be led by God's spirit. And he tells us in the scripture, from the beginning all the way to right now, he tells us to be those who follow his guidance. He gave do's and don'ts to our forefathers, Adam and Eve. Be good. Eat only what I have created for you. Don't touch anything that's bad. And the worst thing you can touch is falsehood, lies, superstition, anything fake and out of nature, not real. But if you obey what Almighty God gave us, laws, guidance, rules, if we live by that, we'll be safe. That's why these devils and wicked people can't fool you if you're a faithful, God-fearing person. If you're when I say God-fearing, I mean a respectable person. If you respect what God says, if you respect what we call God, Allah, we like that name or word better than God, because in this society, God's spelled backwards, is dull. In this society, when you say God, sometimes people talking about themselves. They worship all kinds of things. Money might be their God. A lot of people trapped in that one. And the religious people, they say all kinds of things is God. They used to say Apollo was God. They use their religious spirit to identify Jupiter or Venus or Mars or Hercules, any of these things, old ancient mythological statues, stones, mythological figures that they would make up, ideas and thoughts. The smart men would make up stuff for the dumb men to follow. How some of you are right now. The smart mind, the smart devil intellect has made up false gods for you to follow, and you're the dummy. When you say Jesus is God, you're the dummy. You're following what the white man gave you, and you're saying Jesus. I'm not being derogatory when I say the white man. He liked to call himself that. The European people and the children of Israel, they came up with that falsehood. And Jesus himself said, I'm not God. He said, I'm not doing anything of my own. Don't you know Almighty God does everything of his own, whatever he wants? His will be done. We've heard that. Your will be done on earth. Jesus himself said that, didn't he? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he was praying for that. If he was Almighty God, he could do anything he wanted to, and he wouldn't be subject to anything. I think a lot. It's the first time I really realized the importance of Jesus saying that. I've said he said that before, but it being a proof, I didn't realize how much of a proof it is that he's not God. If he's praying for thy will, thy Almighty God, your will be done on earth. That's what thy means, your will, yours. Thy will be done on earth as it is where you are in heaven. We all know God is in heaven. And we say the devil's in the ground. What does that mean? That means that Almighty God is in the highest of things. He rules with and he is of the highest. He is a master over the highest of things. And the devil is the lowest of things. And we usually talk about the ground being the level, and we say the devil is below that in the hell. But physically, that is not possible. The devil is in the low things like being a cheater, being a liar, being a hypocrite. Because if you dig with a shovel, dig with a shovel, dig with a shovel,
all you're going to get down to is a bunch of gas, and after you get so many feet down, you're going to pass out or you're going to go into water. That's all. Religious cartoons and religious fable, religious baby stories fool you. It's time to grow up. If I say, look at those trees, who made that? If I say, look at the celestial bodies, the stars and the sun and the moon, who made that? You know people don't make that, can't make that. They can't even get to it without Allah blessing them to be very wise, and they coming up and they come up with a machinery that, and no chemistry and physics and all the mathematical formulas that it takes to put together a machinery that can help them rise up from the ground, off the surface of the earth, and go out into the orbits and whatnot, space and whatnot. So many feet above. You know how the earth looks when you get to be 50,000 feet up or 100,000 feet up? It's nothing but a little bitty thing. It's looking smaller and smaller. What man can rule that? You can't rule that. The only way you can rule that is if you use Almighty God's rules, his laws, his order, his commands, his will, faith in him, trust in him, obedience to him. The only way you can rule the earth and affect the earth is by obeying Almighty God. And then if he will, he bless you with the ability to go out and affect other men or to change other men, to teach other men, to educate them, to teach them, to give them guidance, God's guidance, so they can all be saved. Look at how these people are. Go from one country to another country and try to get those people, make those people do what they want them to do. They'll bring war on them, kill a bunch of people. Still can't make them all do what they want them to do. Almighty God can make you do what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, how he wants you to do it, and if you don't follow it, you're making a terrible mistake. I was overseas, and as military people, we were taught, don't be kick hands and picking up stuff because it could be a trap. Because you got people, other people, trying to trap you and trick you and make you lose your life. Well, that's physically. But we don't think about that as people trying to trick you and trap you in your religious life. People that's trying to trick you and trap you with lies and falsehood and false doctrines and have sit down, people that can sit down and write for days and write what they want you to do and write down things. Sometimes writers stay up for 2 or 3 days writing what they want to write. Well, they can put God's name in that. They can make their religious stuff, make it, put a religious spirit in or a religious feeling in it, or tell you to pray to what they're writing in their papers or the pictures they're drawing on their books or the statues that they make. They can give lies about the power and the importance of things so much that we start thinking that those things should be obeyed all the time, that we should be afraid to disobey those things, that we'll get in trouble with those things, we'll get in trouble with the law, we'll get in trouble with the spirit, we'll get in trouble if we disobey those things. And that thing is nothing but a statue of some man, statue of some, you know, not even people. Sometimes these writers and these people who make up these false doctrine, these fake religions, sometimes they'll even have you worship animals. Yeah, you know, in some societies, the cat used to be the supreme being, the dog, the eagle. Yeah, look at this society. Who they tell you is their best friend? Who did they tell you is a man's best friend, huh? They tell you the dog is the man's best friend. And these are people who don't even consider Almighty God. They don't even consider that their dog was made by God. So they always live these kind of weird lives and weird lifestyles and then tell you, I can do what I want to do. Or tell you, they'll go so far as to say, some of them say, well, this is the tradition. Tradition means something that existed in society that was being done by the people before you were born or before you came along. And then people who are there encourage you to follow what they will follow, to do like they do, do like I do. Don't even talk, just do like I do. Don't question nothing, just do like I do. Yeah, you know how many people have suffered and died from obeying their forefathers? Look at the so-called forefather or the father of Russia commanding his people to go kill people. Go kill them all. Take all their land. Take their animals. Take their gold. Take their oil. That's mostly what they're after, the oil and the gold. Take all their riches, their wealth. Take their land so we can grow more crops for our people, have more cattle for our people. And look how the people just bow down and obey everything he say. He's crazy as hell. He's so crazy. He's crazy if you, anybody who tells people to go kill other people or anybody who killing people themselves, they're crazy. I don't mean killing somebody because they're a killer, killing somebody because they're a drug dealer, killing somebody because they're a kidnapper or rapist. I don't mean killing somebody because they're some wicked person. That's justice for society to protect itself from murderers, thieves, robbers, drug dealers and cartels and syndicates and mafias. You got to protect yourself against these mean, wicked followers of the devil. But if the good, the bad person is telling people to go kill the innocent people and the good people, that's the devil and the followers of the devil. Don't look for the devil down in the ground somewhere, believe in cartoons and baby stories and kindergarten stuff. Believe that the devil is a wicked mind that can affect your mind, and if you follow the wickedness that he tells you, you become wicked. You start to fall. You falter. You make mistakes. You mess up. You start doing bad stuff. Yeah. We don't follow the devil. We don't obey Satan. The devil tells you to do stuff. Muslims say what? What do we say? We say, I seek refuge with Allah against the devil. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani arzim. I was telling a sister, her brother is Muslim. I think that's the one that she has brothers, sisters. I think that's the family member that passed away, but he was a Muslim. And he had told her many good things. I hope she has a chance to call in and listen. I hope she's on the line now. We're talking that the things that the Muslims say, and sometimes we as Muslims don't get a chance, there's not enough time for us to get a chance to tell the people all the truth that they need to be safe in this society, or safe from the wickedness in this society. So one of the things the Muslims do when we believe that Satan is involved in something, we say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. I seek refuge with Allah, with the Creator, against Satan, the rejected enemy, the evil one. I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the evil one, the rejected one, the devil. That's what we say. So, there's a verse in the Quran that says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَا الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَئِذْ بِاللَّهِ. That's Allah telling you that whenever the evil one, the devil, Satan, makes a suggestion to you, seek refuge with Allah. He's telling you himself to seek refuge with him against Satan, against the devil, against evil. So I was telling the sister that how comprehensive our way of life is, how we got all the answers in the Holy Quran. Don't believe what this society tells you. The same people hanging you from trees, raping you, murdering you, stabbing you, setting you on fire, putting tar, hot tar on you, and throwing feathers on you to make you look like a fool. The same one that was drowning you and shooting you in the streets. You're going to let them tell you what religion is? You're going to let them tell you that they to take their book and that they got everything in it that you need? That's why we're still in Los Angeles and other parts of America instead of being in Africa. They will never and have never had any intention to let the African people that they had made into slaves and servants and that they had trapped and killed, they had never had any intention to let us go. If they was going to let us go, don't you think they would have done that within the last 400 or 500 years? Huh. Wake up and use some sense. Most of us won't wake up because they have damaged our minds. They have got us in, they set it up so that even our parents and grandparents would get angry with us or cast us out or kick us out or kick our behinds if we said anything against the evil idols and doctrine that the slave, wicked criminal slave masters had given us to believe and had given to the preachers to preach into us. And the preacher preached it into our father and mother, and our father and mother preached it into us and beat it into us until we became and become obedient slaves, joyful, people who are joyful at being cast out and abused and oppressed. What does our religion say? What does Al-Islam, what does the Muslim say about, what does the Holy Quran, our book, the perfect book, what does it say about oppression? It says oppression is worse than slaughter. It says, it is a verse in the Holy Quran that says oppression is worse than being killed. It's better to be dead than to be living in oppression and cruelty and under the doctrine of criminals. That's what it's about. That's what the Holy Quran is doing, is saving you, not letting you be a fool. Time's out for being a dummy. Time's out for being nothing to say about your situation, a mummy. Time's out for being what they call them things, a zombie. Time's out for just walking along. You ain't dead and you ain't alive. Time's out for being somebody that won't speak up for himself and won't break free from death to get into life. Won't break the cruel devices, break away from the cruel devices that they're using to keep us down. Don't you know that drugs is a device to keep you down? Alcohol is a device to keep you down. Cigarettes are a device to keep you down, robbing you of your health, your vitamins, your nutrients, your life that's inside your physical body. The devil uses his wicked mind to tell you lies so that you'll do things against yourself. The good self that Almighty God made for you to be happy with, you can't be happy with it because you're full of dope. You're full of wicked stories that make you think you're going the right way when you're going completely in the wrong way. Things that are diametrically opposed to truth, that's what you do. Because this society allows you to do that. They want you to be, they want to be permissive with you. The lies from the devil has gotten into the heads of the leaders, the politicians, the judges, the doctors of law, the scientists. They will submit to do what the devil wants them to do to help keep the people under his control. So we do things against ourselves instead of giving ourselves to Almighty God so he can lift us up and raise us up and show us the right way. Muslims, I hope we are leading people in the right way, because the Holy Quran says you can't do nothing worse than mislead people. You can't do nothing worse than mislead people from the way of Allah. You can't do nothing worse than being against Allah. So when we see ourselves doing things that we know are wrong, we should ask Allah's forgiveness. And we should work hard so we can provide a leadership that will help the people, that will break the chains of wickedness that they have on the minds of the average person in this society. Got you down on your knees. I've been in the churches and places, and you know, Muslims are told we have to protect the churches. But we don't have to protect any devil doctrine that we find in the church. So we have to stand against that, and we have to warn people who say that they are tremendous Christians. We have to warn them that they're carrying, it's like carrying a, what they call them, bomb that's strapped to the, he's a bomber, carrying a stray, strapping a bomb to himself. But the bomb is not a physical bomb of dynamite and C4 that blows people up. It's a bomb, a psychological bomb called a lie. It's a wickedness and an evil from the devil that we call lies and falsehood and false doctrine. Muslims should never get involved in no foolishness like that. And when we see ourselves involved in the wickedness of society, we should ask Allah to forgive us. And Allah tells us to seek his forgiveness and get right back on the path, get back on the job of helping to save people by telling the people the truth. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. This is who we are. We're Muslims. We're not ashamed to tell the world that we are not only better than what we see happening in society. We're not only better, but Almighty God tells us that we're better because we will do his will. We will act right. We will stand against falsehood with all of our strength. And when we make a mistake, we ask Allah to forgive us and help us, and we go and we get in that Holy Quran, we get into our prayers, we get into our remembrance of Allah by repeating his names over and over again. Oh, Allah, oh, Al-Malik, that means divine king. As-Salam, the source of peace. Al-Muhaymin, the protector. Al-Jabbar, the one who is so powerful against our enemy. Help us. Help us, Allah. Save us, Allah. Yes. We ask Allah to help us. Oh, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. Please have mercy on us. Forgive us and strengthen us. And let us follow the right path. Let us follow the straight path. We call that Sirat al-Mustaqim. We got all the answers in the Holy Quran. Believe it, brothers and sisters. We're here to give you something the white man will never give you, never want you to have either. Because, unfortunately, he's been blinded by the mischief in his own soul. You heard me say at the beginning of the meeting that we seek refuge of Allah against our own mischief or sinfulness in our own soul. We don't want to be bad. But these other people, they are so used and so spoiled, they're so used to being rich, so used to being greedy, so used to being lustful, so used to being powerful and murderous against the world, that it don't bother them to keep us a few more hundred years, or maybe a few more thousand years. They had us in perpetual slavery. They had no intention of ever setting us free, or our children free. They had no intention of setting our parents free. No intention of setting our grandparents free, great-grandparents free, great-great-grandparents free, great-great-great-grandparents free. I was talking to a Muslim myself, and I know some of my ancestors, a few. I'm very fortunate because most people have no idea of who they people are. Definitely don't have no any names or what the where the person came from or what faith or what stature the person was in the community or in the society they came from, or the community they came from, the land they came from. But I'm here to tell you that most African-Americans you see, I know a lot of Africans that just came over here from Africa. They haven't been here 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Every one of them that I look at, I know somebody that looked just like them. I was telling the Muslim sister, I said, if your dog was a husky and you got him here in Los Angeles, you know where the Huskies come from. They come from north of here. They come from Canada, north of Canada. They come from Alaska. You going to tell me just because you see a monkey in Los Angeles, you going to tell me that chimpanzee or gorilla don't come from Africa? You going to tell me that just because you see an alligator, he don't come from down south in Louisiana? You see him in Los Angeles in the zoo, but you going to tell me he don't come from there? So I know a lot of people, and some of them are relatives. When I look at the African who just got here, I say, man, whoa, my uncle so-and-so, he come from that. People that come from the land where you come from, that's where they brought my uncle from, him and his descendants, because, you know, we all mixed up, so I might have my mother's people might be from Ghana. My father's people might be from Nigeria. My uncle's people might from Senegal because he got the life germ in him. He got the cell in him. He got the gene in him, not from my mother and father like I did. He got the gene in him from my grandparents. So who was the grandfather's and grandmother's father and mother? So we are from many, many, many nations, many tribes in Africa. But when I see the Africans, I can see people that I know and have known my whole life who look like them. And I can say for sure that they are akin to the people who, now you don't know if that African has always been in Ghana. He may have migrated from a neighboring country. He might be a Ghana person. He might be a person in Ghana, but his folks migrated there from Sierra Leone or from what do you call it? Gambia area, Senegal. That's what I was thinking of.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. But brothers and sisters, regardless of all of that, everybody on the planet has a creator. And I'm here to tell you, and Allah tells us to tell you in the Holy Quran, that his name is Allah, and he is the creator of all things, all that exists. We have a name for him. It's called Rabbi. And the statement that we make about him in all of our prayers, one of the things that's said in our prayers is he is Rabbil Alameen, Rabbil Alameen, that he is the Lord, the creator of all that exists. He is the cherisher and sustainer and creator. He is the Lord and the master of everything, every molecule, every cell, every speck of created thing. He is the master and the Lord over all of it, and he made it. He designed it. He knows its time. He knows where he wants it to be in the creation. He didn't want us to be under the Europeans over here stuck in Los Angeles, scared every day that something bad going to happen to us because there's so much dope that come here from other people who don't give a heck about us either. They just want your job, just want your house, just want your position, and they will smash you so fast. And the devil, other Europeans and different ones, let them do that. Children of Israel, let them do that. The children of Israel, a lot of them are judges. The ones that Jesus said, they was that Jesus said of the children of Israel, he said, you're like your father, the devil. In other words, he was telling them, you're children of the devil. You're children of Satan. It's right in the Bible. That's one of the things that survived. That Jesus is known to have said. So these smart super devils who are children of the devil populate the court system, the legal system, the judicial system. So they are the lawyers, the politicians, the judges. You know that. The ones who own the media moguls, you know that. You see them. You look at them. If you know what they look like, a lot of them, if you know their names, if you hear them boast that, yes, I'm from Israel, I'm a child of Israel, you hear them boasting, yes, we got all power, we got a lot of power, we stay together, we hang together, we stick together, and we use our power. And so the presidents are so scared. The presidents over here said, yes, we will always be Israel's friend because they're scared. Brothers and sisters, the only way you get away from being harnessed and controlled and dominated and enslaved by that kind of power from earthly people, us other races and groups and syndicates and tribes and wicked groups, the only way you get away from that power is you have to believe in a power that's bigger than that. Your physical body may not get saved, but psychologically, do I sound like a slave? mind-wise, do I sound like a slave? Do I act like a slave? Do I sound like I intend to be a slave or let my children be slaves or not say nothing about the slavery that we see happening to us every day? Do you think I'm going to be silent? No, I don't sound like nobody like that. But you can sound like a free person, too. A liberated person. Not just liberated. Allah says in the Holy Quran, this is another verse I'm going to share with you. Allah says, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lilnas ta'maruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. That sound like a slave? No. We're getting back the language that our ancestors spoke before they were stolen from Africa. Don't be ashamed to call yourself Muhammad or call yourself Akbar. Or call yourself Abdul Ali. Don't be ashamed or scared or afraid to name yourself Rashida, Shahida. Don't be afraid, brothers and sisters, for what's right. And Allah will bless you. Allah will help you. So the only thing that will save us is what Allah has in the Holy Quran to keep our minds bigger than what the world is talking about. That verse says, you are the best of people evolved and brought forward for the benefit of mankind. That's what that verse says. Enjoining or inviting to what is right and forbidding what is wrong. That's what that verse is talking about. And we are saved by what we believe. We are helped by what we believe. We're not cowards. Allah tells us that don't be a coward. He says that slaughter. He said that oppression is worse than slaughter. He said being a slave, being a captive, being abused, being brutalized at all is worse than somebody killing you. But to allow yourself to be brutalized for hundreds of years and to tell your children that the one who is the criminal, who is the brutalizer, to tell your children that they have to obey him, that they must listen to him, that they have to get out on their knees and pray to him or follow his false doctrine, his wickedness. Our parents were innocent, but they did a lot of harm to us by teaching us to be afraid of the white people. Our parents were innocent victims. They were slaves. They were captured. They were brutalized. They were raped. You know, they used to have us beat each other to death for entertainment. That's how the boxing in America came about. That's why there's so many black boxers. Because on the plantation, part of their entertainment was to get their one plantation, get his brute, get his strongest black, and the other plantation get their stronger, and they would fight to the death. Have you kill your own people for their entertainment. Part of their entertainment was to get the beautiful young African women, strong, beautiful, good, clean, honest African woman, and the criminal slave owners get together and they all gang rape her. Gang rape her. When the baby born, half white or mixed or whatever, he wasn't set free. The master didn't say, "You are my child." I know they glamorize it in the movies and fictionalize it in the movies, but the half white was most of the time treated just as cruelly as the other slaves, especially by his white father. There wasn't no white mother, because if she made a slave come and have sex with her, they would kill him. The slaves were the ones that treated the half white better than the slave master, and that was his own child. Now tell me we didn't go through some hell. I know, but they romanticize it and glamorize it in the media and movies, and then in the news and in the history, and have you think, "Oh, well, that's George Washington's child." What they should say is George Washington was a bastard, that he was a cruel criminal, that he was a rapist, that he was a devil for doing that to innocent people who couldn't get away from him. Not just him. Main one is Thomas Jefferson. I may have them mixed up, but I think I got it because both of them had slaves. I know it. Thomas Jefferson, and all of them. Don't be fooled, brothers and sisters. Well, that didn't happen all the time. So what if it didn't happen two times? But there was 100,000 slave owners who were doing it every day. We got that real bad, always making excuses for criminals. The family that's abused, they don't get no justice. The criminal's sitting up on death row or in the prison for 20, 30 years laughing about what he did, the wickedness he did to people's families. Instead of repenting or going somewhere and killing himself. He'll kill himself for nothing, but he ain't know how many white people you know. I'm getting more into talking about their color. How many wicked mind, devil minds you know who were owners of plantations and owners of our people, trappers and kidnappers of our people, how many of them killed themselves over the bad stuff they did to us over and over and over again for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to millions and millions and millions and millions of people? Yeah, if you put all the plantations, look through the history books up there and Google how many so-called prominent plantations were there just in Georgia. What plantation had the most slaves on it? Do you ever ask yourself those kind of questions? You're scared. I know you would wake up if you did ask yourself those kinds of questions, and you would no longer be a good slave. You'd no longer be a boy anymore. You'd no longer be a heifer like we'd be calling each other. You'll wake up. You'll grow up. You want to get away, like some of the slaves ran away, got away. If you got caught, you got killed. But some of them made it. Brothers and sisters, it's time to grow up. Al-Islam is here now. Our religion is called Al-Islam, the submission to Allah, the submission to the Creator. Yeah, that's what al-Islam means, the total submission to the Creator. Not to Moses, not to Jesus, not to Muhammad, not to Abraham, not to Adam, the total submission only to the one who made all of these things and all of these people. That's who we are. Now, when you want to be a person like that, when you want to return to your real self, you start waking up more and more and more. You start getting some good happiness and joy out of every day of your life. You start doing better and better things for yourself and others. You start being able to overlook the evils of your family and friends. And if they are already too crazy to be helped, you stay away from them and you try to be kind and gentle and honest with them. You try to do something for them to show them that their life has value. That's what you try to do. You stop making excuses for the Europeans. You stop making excuses for the criminals and the wicked children of Israel. You stop making excuses for them and being willing to just go along with the program or go ahead and see it until your days are done. Some of you might live 70, 80, 90, 100 years. I got relatives who lived over 100 years. Oh, way over 100. My great-great-grandfather didn't die until he was 115. And I know you have many people in your family who right now are in their 80s and 90s. Right now. Why should they live 80 and 90 years and all they got out of life was what this society allowed them to have, grudgingly allowed them? They didn't want to give you as much as they gave you. You see it. When Dr. King and others just said things like, we just want to be free, I am somebody, I think he was dead within 3 or 4 weeks. They don't want you to be free. Boy, run down the street, getting some exercise, stop by an empty property, look in there just to see how nice it look or what the next room going to be. Because he's a college man, so he could see where a bedroom was going to be or where a bathroom was going to be installed in the house. But these wicked devils, unrepentant devils, descendants of the slave owners and plantation owners and descendants of the cruel or wicked parents they had, they chased the man down and blew him away in the street. Run him, was going to run him. They'd kill you. They would kill you. And that's why so many African Americans have that fear in them. Allah said in the Holy Quran, they try to make you fear gods besides Allah. Now, we fear Allah, so we're losing that little petty, sissy, spooky fear that our people, most of our people have. They drag themselves to the church hoping that the white figure on the wall might help them. They ain't going to get no help from those false gods. Jesus wasn't one that stood for the kind of wickedness that goes on in this society. He didn't stand for wickedness, gambling on the church grounds or the temple grounds. He whipped them and flipped over their tables because they was gambling. Whipped them with a little whip. Lashed them. And even if he didn't do that physically, we know he was a great preacher, and he would tongue lash them, which means chew them out. Tongue lash them. You know better than this. You're a bunch of hypocrites. We know that Jesus called them hypocrites and serpents. We know that. How could you follow people who you see obviously don't really love Jesus? You go to church and pray to their picture, their image, their color, their race, hoping that you might be helped, and they still whipping you, even though you know that they are not sorry for what they have been doing to you, and your fathers and your mothers and your grandparents and your great-great-great-grandparents, all the way back to when they came to the shores of Africa. We had never seen the white people before. They came to the shores of Africa and snatched us, brothers and sisters, started murdering us right away, blowing us up right away. They had guns then. They had their swords. They had their whips, and they captured anybody who was strong enough to make it to America, and the rest of them, who knows? But probably they murdered. More than likely, they murdered. You know they murdered them. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to wake up from this bad dream. Time to wake up from this nightmare. Time to wake up from this horror and kick some butt. First butt you need to kick is your own. Don't kick your booty buns. Kick your head. Not hard. Not hard with physical kick. Kick it with some knowledge and some truth. You know, one of the sayings that we have, and it's a verse in the Holy Quran, Allah said he gives us the truth, and we should take that truth and hurl it against falsehood so that it knocks out its brain. Is that plain enough? Allah's truth, he said, verily we hurl the truth. Muslims, we hurl the truth against falsehood, and it knocks out its brain. Is that clear enough? That's the booty we need to kick, the booty in the brain, the ass in the brain. We need to kick it so that we can wake up now, knock the falsehood out of it, so that the truth that's left, we can use that to build a real life for ourselves, to talk honestly about things, to stand up for each other, to forgive each other, to help each other, to want to be with each other, to want to be with each other, to want to be with our own kind. Show me the slant-eyed Chinese when a white man tried to force him to be somebody else. Did he survive that? No. The Chinese said, I'm not going to be like nobody else. I'm going to be my own self. But they wanted us to hate being like we are. They wanted us to go get some salve or cream or something and wipe it on our face so we wouldn't be dark anymore, because that's how deep they had driven the fear and the self-hate, the anger and the frustration about looking like we look, and that's the reason they was bothering us and doing us like they've been doing us. You don't have to be ashamed of yourself no more. I'm telling every Muslim that's living, every Muslim that's listening on this radio program, this Juma that we got today, I'm telling you, don't be ashamed of being a human being. Don't be ashamed of doing right. Don't be ashamed of being one who is on record for doing what's right. Muslims, when we become Muslims, we take a pledge. We go on record. We raise our hand and our right hand, and we go on record for saying that we recognize that Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and earth that we call Allah, we recognize that he's the only one worthy of worship. We bear witness that he's the only one worthy of worship. And that Muhammad has proven that it can be done, that it can be lived. The life like that can be lived. We say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there's nothing and no one, that there's no God except Allah. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And I bear witness that Muhammad is Allah's servant and his messenger. And he was successful. The most successful human being in a mission. In his mission, he was the most successful human being that ever lived, even more successful than the first man, his father, our father Adam. Because Muhammad had to go through everything that we go through in society. And he stood up against it. He fought against it. And he never said, I'm not going to be no Muslim. Allah said in the Holy Quran, the unbelievers tried to make him doubt. Allah told him, don't be weak. So lose not heart nor fall into despair, for you will gain mastery if you are true in faith. You will become a master, brothers and sisters. You'll become a master if you are true in faith to Allah. He promises, وَحْدَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ لَا يَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And he will, in public, that he will, for he promises to establish you as he has established other believers before you. He promises that. So if we be faithful to Allah, he says, you will walk to me, I'll run to you. If you remember me, I'll remember you. That's in the old scripture in the Bible. Also in the old scripture says that the honorable, the meek, the good, the righteous shall inherit the earth. With what? Their feet? Baboons got feet. Cats got feet. No, you'll inherit with your mind, with your good mind, with your mind that Allah has chosen to put over all the other beings. You outthink anything moving except Almighty God himself. Brothers and sisters, feed that mind, that truth that's in the Holy Quran, and you will be successful. We're going to stop here. First, this is the first half of our talk called the Juma, the congregational prayer where everybody is together, and we, or every Friday, all over the earth, and we praise Allah, and we recommit ourselves, rededicate ourselves to worship Him and obey Him.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to stop here and go into the second part of the talk. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Don't hang up. Brothers and sisters, stay on the line. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. Ahmaduhu astainahu wa astahdihi wa astaghfiruhu. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu. La sharika lahu. Ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-kharam rusaleen Muhammad. Ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And in that, brothers and sisters, we said that we bear witness that there is no God except Allah. And we wish peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, the best, not only of human beings, but the best of all of the messengers, and upon his family and his companions, and all of us believers the world over. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, I want to say again, peace be unto you. Or as we say in Arabic, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Here some people just say assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Well, the correct way to say that is as, which means the, salam, peace, assalamu alaikum, upon you, be upon you or unto you or with you. So more correctly, it's unto you or upon you. And so assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. We're saying that peace be unto you, brothers and sisters, because it's time for us to have peace of mind. It's time for us to have morality and balance in our thinking and in our approach in life, to order the good things, to live the good ways. Money is not always the good way. In fact, it's probably going to lead you into some bad ways. It's not the root of all evil. Doing bad things and listening to Satan is the root of all evils. But you should ask Allah to bless you, to make your prayers and to think right, to seek out truth and reality and be careful with your thinking, and to value yourself and to do as many good works as you can, and to make your prayers. Muslims have five principles that we live by. The first principle is to believe in Almighty God, to have full faith in Him. We call it Iman Allah. And along with that goes belief that Muhammad is a messenger, is Allah's messenger. So we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah. We believe there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. I gave it to you as the pledge. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu la hu. When you say that, when someone offers you that and you say it, the person is witnessing, and hopefully you maybe have a few more witnesses, that you have just come into the real world and that you believe and you see evidence that there's nothing and no one worthy of worship except the creator of everything, and that Muhammad is his messenger. All your sins are forgiven. No matter what you did in your life, all your sins are then forgiven. Am I saying that? Yes, I'm saying it. But the prophet, peace be upon him, said that Allah Most High said that when you renounce the world and accept him, when you accept Almighty God and you renounce the world as being something you should be praying to and hankering after, hungering after, and all your sins are forgiven. All your previous sins are forgiven. And you start as a clean, brand-new human being, clean as a baby, from that point on. That's the first great, wonderful, miraculous thing thing that our religion will do for you, that Allah will do for you by joining our religion. And the second principle of our religion is to pray five times a day, five organized times a day, or obligatory, five times a day, times that you have to make, and those are stated times. We actually have the period of time that you have to make that prayer. You have so much time to make that prayer before you go into the next prayer. We pray, Muslims all over the world, we pray five times a day. The third principle of our religion is to give in charity. We call it zakat. Zakat or sadaqa means to give charity. Scripture tells you have to give charity to the poor. You're trying to bring other people up. And if other people live by the same rules, then you'll find that you all are living a good life. You're helping each other. You are respecting Almighty God. And that's why you treat people better than the people who don't respect Almighty God. And you're praying the five times a day. What are you praying for? You're praying to be relieved of your wrong and your weaknesses and your sin, your crime and your disgrace. You're praying for Almighty God to bless you. And we have the words from the Holy Quran that we use to pray. So you're praying a perfect prayer every time. The third one, as I mentioned, is giving in charity. The fourth principle of our religion is the fasting. Muslims fast every year for 30 days, 29 or 30 days, depending on the time period. We have a religion that is rooted not by clocks. I'll explain that sometime. But anyway, we fast in the month of Ramadan. We fast those days. During that period that we're fasting, and we're not fasting to get skinny, we're fasting to show Allah our appreciation because the Holy Quran, his divine word to us, his sacred word to us, began to be revealed in the month of Ramadan. They began to be revealed to Muhammad, the prophet, the last and final prophet, during the month of Ramadan. So we're celebrating the fact that Allah revealed or gave us the Holy Quran to guide us. That's guidance. That's Allah's guidance to us to show us exactly how he wants us to live as human beings in this life as long as we live. And the last principle of our religion is called Hajj or pilgrimage. Every year, all the Muslims that can afford it, all the Muslims that are healthy enough to make the journey, we go to Mecca over in Arabia to visit a building that was built, was started by Abraham and his son Ishmael. It was started by Abraham and his son Ishmael. Both of them are prophets, father and son prophets. And that house is called Kaaba. You'll hear people say the Kaaba. Al-Kaaba, the Kaaba. And that house began to be revealed by those two messengers, those two prophets of Allah, Abraham and his son Ishmael, peace be upon them. And all of the Muslims visit that house at least once in a lifetime if the journey is affordable and if they're in good health. That is the fifth principle of our religion. So the first principle is Iman Allah, faith in Allah, belief in Allah. The second principle is making your prayers five times a day. The third principle is giving in charity. There's actually a percentage, 2.5% of your annual income. So if you make $10,000 in a year, you only owe $250. I think that's right. What did I say? 2.5%. $2,500. Excuse me. $2,500. $10,000. Then you only owe $2,500. Because 10% would be $1,000. And well, I got it wrong. $250 is all you owe if you make $10,000 in a year. Because $10,000, 10% of it would be $1,000, and 1% of it would be $100. So 2.5% is $250. That's nothing compared to $10,000. Come on. So we give that. Every Muslim has a duty to give an amount. If he makes $100,000, then he owes $2,500, $2,500. He made $100,000. So we'll have money available to help the poor and to start schools, and to build centers. We call them masjids. Bill's centers. Okay? And so our centers, all of them face, all of our centers, on no matter where they are on earth, face the Kaaba, face the building that was made or built, began to be built by Abraham and his son Ishmael. So look how unique our way of life is. All of this we've been doing since it was the last part of it, the final part of it, was revealed to Muhammad. Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him, about 1,400 something years ago. This is the final religion. You don't have to change no more. You don't have to have no version, so-and-so version, king, so-and-so. You don't have none of that. There's no changing anymore because the religion was revealed at that time. It was covered. It was finished. It was finalized, and that's it. And ever since that time, all over the world, Muslims by the hundreds of millions and by the billions have been living the religion the same exact way. That's what we do. Anybody else that tries to change it, they're fake and they call themselves what they want. But the real Muslims is being described by what I just told you. And the last principle that I mentioned was the going to the pilgrimage to visit that house. All the Muslims face that house when we pray. That's where we turn to pray to. So all over the earth, every day, there's Muslims that are facing that building to make their five daily prayers. Brothers and sisters, we're going to stop here. All of this has to do with what we started talking about, the sacrifice. Sacrifice to save your goodness. Sacrifice to save your life. Sacrifice so you'll have a new life. When you make that pledge to Allah, you're getting rid of the old life. You're sacrificing yourself and saying, I'm not going to do what I want to do anymore. Now I'm only going to do what Allah wants me to do. I'm going to submit myself to the Lord of the worlds. I'm going to submit myself to the creator of all things. And for that, he makes you a brand new person. Brothers and sisters, we're going to stop here. We thank Allah for giving us this guidance, this help. And we thank Allah that you paid attention today and got to hear what we're talking about sacrificing. Sacrificing and getting away from things that won't work for us. Sacrificing ourselves and asking Allah to make us that new person who's bright and clean and beautiful. And healthy and handsome and strong and good in the mind first, over everything, the mind. I don't care what I look like as long as my mind is right, but my good mind is going to make me look better. I'm going to feel better, and I'm going to keep myself together. I'm going to keep myself clean. We're going to stop here. Assalamu alaikum. We say a short prayer after this, or a short pledge after this. It's like a plate. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And that means surely Allah and his angels do salute Muhammad, the messenger, Allah's messenger. O you who believe, do you likewise and give him the greatest of salutes. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad. Kama salaita ala Ibrahim, ala ala Ibrahim, innaka hamidu majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad wa ala ala Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim, ala Ibrahim, fil alameen, innaka hamidu majid. And that says that, O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and his family. And O Allah, when we say family, we mean followers too. We're the family of Muhammad. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, family followers of Muhammad, as you did bless Ibrahim and his family of followers. For surely you are praised and magnified. Rabbana hablana min azwajina, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring. Give us wives and children that will be a comfort to our eyes by their behavior. And grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Rabbana aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfina fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa sunna ala kalamil kafirin. Our Lord, forgive us our faults and anything we may have done that transgressed our duty. Blot out our sins. And our Lord, give us grace against those who stand against faith. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the chastisement of punishable offenses of hellfire. Amen. So that means stand for prayer.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah. Hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. قد قام الصلاة قد قام الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. And this is the Salatul Juma. And the Salatul Juma is two rakahs of prayer, two units of prayer, two repetitions of prayer. And we're going to do that. And then we'll be pretty much finished with the Juma prayer today. الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله فلو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Fatiha, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. Rahman, Rahim, most gracious, most merciful. Maliki Yawmideen, master of the day of judgment. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Thee alone do we worship, and thee alone whose aid we seek. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Show us the straight way. Sirat al-ladina and amta alayhim, the way of those upon whom you have bestowed your grace and favor. Pray the Maghdubi alayhim, wala dawli.
have me, not the way of those upon whom your wrath has brought down on them, nor those who go astray. Amen. Alhamdulillah. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate you so much for joining us and choosing us for your Jumu'ah today. We appreciate you so much. And we hope that you will join us next time. The Ramadan is going to start pretty soon. And as I was mentioning about the fasting, we fasted 30 days, but we only don't eat anything or drink anything in the daytime. And that's for the 29 or 30 days. And it's to be done properly. We don't eat anything or drink anything during the daytime. And that's just for that period. And we're showing our appreciation for the Holy Quran that began to be revealed during that month of Ramadan. We'll talk more about that, inshallah, in the future. And I want all the Muslims to know that if you want to contact us, make sure and contact us. Contact me at 310-925-3945. Or contact me at M. Khatib, that's Muhammad Khatib, that's M-K-H-A-T-I-B, 100, at gmail.com. And I'll send you, or text me your phone number, and I'll send you a copy of the Arabic that we're working on. We're going to finish it up and finalize it, and inshallah, it'll look real nice. But right now, we just started with our drafts, but even the draft looks real good, and we'll send you that, because that was the language that our people were speaking, among others, when we were in Africa. And I'm not telling you to pack up your stuff and go to Africa. I'm telling you there's nothing wrong with saving the African mind from the abuse that we've suffered all these hundreds of years. If I was a Chinese, I'd be standing up for the Chinese. If I was a Japanese, I'd be standing up for the Japanese. If I was anybody on earth, if I was a mother horse or something, I'd be standing up for my kind. So we've got to get out of the habit of giving other people preference over our own selves when we've been so brutally mistreated and abused. But anyway, I'll send you a copy of the Arabic alphabet. You can start on that. We've got classes every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And so if you want to join in with us, do that. We want to salute the Blog Talk Radio and the director of the program that brings us, carries our Jumu'ah, Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad. And the number at the Blog Talk is area code 515-602-9665. And if you call me, with his permission, I'll give you his cell phone number. And if you want to reach him, you can also reach him at aminmuhammad@gmail.com. Amin Yasir Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, at gmail.com. So I believe that's his email address. Tag me at 310-925-3945. I'll give you any other information or make any corrections that are necessary. Again, brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. May Allah bless you. Have mercy upon those who are ill and those who have returned to Allah. We ask Allah to forgive them and have mercy upon them, forgive them their sins, and admit them into paradise. Ameen. And we want to say one quick dua for them or verse for them. And that is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi kusr. Illa ladina amanu wa amilu salihati. La yastakli. No, not asr. I apologize. Ikhlas. Kul hu allahu ahad allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul hu allahu ahad allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul hu allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And what we are saying is say that he, Allah, is one God. And he is not, lam yalid wa lam yulad. He is not a child and he has no child. And he, wa kul hu allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. He is not a child. He never was a child. And he is one alone. And he is one alone. He has no partner. All right, brothers and sisters, may Allah bless each and every one of you. And may Allah forgive me for any errors or mistakes or omissions that I left out. We'll talk to you again next time, inshallah. Bless you. Bless your family. Keep your mask on and keep your distance. And let's keep this up until the sickness rate goes down, way down, and basically be declared finish, but you take care of yourself. This virus is not a light switch that somebody can call you up or tell you on television, okay, it's over now, so take your mask off. No, they're going to kill some people like that. So be wise. Be very wise. Talk to you soon, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.